97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, we are back. 902 here at 97.5, The Fanatic. This subject really chaps my rear end, this whole thing. Dating back to slavery. What a national embarrassment, slavery. Founding fathers, awesome, loved their brains, smart as hell, came up with a good system, put some nice rules in place, except they whiffed on slaves. Thomas Jefferson, the architect of the Declaration of Independence, had slaves. They all had slaves. Benjamin Franklin had slaves. He had slaves for like 40 years, and then he finally came out and against it. Benjamin Franklin. The fact that slaves, the three-fifths compromise in 1787, where slaves, three-fifths of slaves were counted as, three of every five slaves were counted as people. They had to come up numbers. It's a little complicated to determine how many seats in the House of Representatives each state got. And instead of counting slaves as a whole, they considered them property to the South. They came up with a compromise and said you can count three of every five slaves. So they weren't even whole back then. The whole thing drives me nuts, drives me absolutely insane. And I believe, did I hear Mayor Kenney with an emergency alert a few minutes ago put a curfew? Okay, there's a curfew out right now. It's going from now till 6 a.m.? Is it now till 6 a.m. or 10 to 6 a.m.?
6, that's what it says on the thing that's going across in there right now. It says till 6 a.m. In here there's this bulletin thing where it just keeps going by saying from now until 6, effective now until 6 a.m.
A curfew.
Yeah.
Okay, so unless you have like real things to do.
It says unless you're essential personnel. You can't be outside.
How about that?
That's not going to do anything.
Not going to do anything.
It's not going to stop protests.
No, of course not.
What are they going to do? Fine you for being outside? I mean,
they're outnumbered big time. Let's go to Adrian in Princeton. You're on 97.5 The Thunder. What's up, Adrian?
Hey, how you doing today?
How are you?
Good. I had a very interesting day today.
You did? Why? What happened?
I was out protesting.
You were? Good for you. God bless. Where were you?
In Bucks County.
Okay. Well, explain.
Well, I actually was out in the middle of the road by myself. I was kind of nervous because it's a very predominantly white area. But two white ladies did come up and join me, and it was a lot of support and a lot of love that was poured out by everyone. And I had a sign out, Honk for George. And majority of my honks were from white people, so I appreciate the love.
Good.
That was sent out. But I just wanted to really comment on the guy prior to me. Like, his views were a little one-sided, and I just don't agree at all with what he was saying about the looting and stuff. Because, yeah, the looting is bad, and we shouldn't be doing that because we are only hurting our own community and our own economy. However, peacefully, it hasn't been doing much. Being peaceful, it got us nowhere. Martin Luther King was the most peaceful protester, and he was murdered in front of everyone. Where did that get us?
Nowhere.
So,
you know, and that's my point. The people that are criticizing the rioting and the civil unrest, it didn't work the other way. You know, you can't complain about Colin Kaepernick and his intention to protest peacefully and then complain when the city gets turned upside down.
Exactly. And I think that at this point in time, it's being filmed. So everyone is seeing it. You can't deny it anymore. You can't deny that it's happening. You can't turn a blind eye. And to watch a grown man scream for his dead mom and we watch him die, that was very hard. And we've seen numerous videos of black people dying with their hands up. And I know that he's going to probably end up getting, 12 years? Or maybe 4 years.
Hope not.
End up not even doing that. Not even doing that. And it swept under the rug, and this is what's constantly happening. And ideally probably what a lot of black people would like to see is probably the death penalty. And that's probably not realistic, but it has to stop. So when these police officers are, when they put these uniforms and they understand that it means something, you are here to protect and serve our community.
Yeah, that gets lost a lot of times, unfortunately.
It does, and it's sad, and no, we don't want to see an officer die for something like this, but at the end of the day, how many more lives are we going to just keep losing?
Agreed. Adrian, I appreciate the call. Thank you for dialing in. I can't agree more. Thomas on a cellular on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, Joe.
How you doing, bud?
Oh, man. I want to say thank you, man. This is exactly what we need. People like yourself that don't look like me to give us a voice. So, man, from the bottom of my heart, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Which lead me to your caller before your caller, because thank God for the young lady who just called. She just saved me about a bunch of anger. But on your two calls before her, the biggest problem I have with the man that says we need to be careful about asking Carson Wentz to do something, he said he black. My man, you might need to look in the mirror, because the last time I checked, for the last 100 years, they ain't been listening to us. So the last thing I want is my quarterback being solid. Okay, and I'm Joe took the feelings right out of my heart. The only anger I had with him, why did it take so long? Come on, bro. Mm-hmm. You don't got to sit down and come up with nothing to type over your man. Come out and talk. Say something. Something is better than nothing. And then the other guy, yes, he's right. When you rob and you loot, you justify those police officers to go back and say, you see, this is what we do.
Exactly.
But what he wrong at, where he is 100% wrong at, is, oh, you don't have no right just to comply. My man, when somebody gives you change and you walk in the store and somebody gave you a fake dollar bill, you think you deserve to be thrown on the concrete with your neck on the ground with his knee on the back? How do you know that man knew that it was a fake $10 bill, $20 bill, whatever? That is the most dumbest thing I ever heard. You have to, everybody that died was doing something wrong. Man, that pissed me off. That man wasn't doing nothing wrong. And everybody who died that was black was not doing nothing wrong. So quit spreading that dumb lie.
Agreed. Thomas, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you for the kind words. Yeah, the actual incident, in case you are unaware, allegedly he tried to use a counterfeit $20 bill at a convenience store right across the street from where he parked. I'm surprised once they got kicked out, they stayed. They stuck around. They went to their car, which was on the other corner on the sidewalk, and they stayed there. They didn't take off. So the owner or worker at the convenience store called the police. They go into the convenience store. The people at the convenience store spot them still hanging out across the street and point them out, and cops went over to them, and that's when all hell broke loose. 610-632-0975. Without further ado, on the Comcast Business Hotline, my podcast partner, the great Steve Callis. Steven, what's up, bud?
It's all good. You're going deep tonight, man. Yeah.
I know, but, you know, what the hell? Figure throw caution to the wind. No, I really believe in this subject a lot, and it enrages me. So I'd like, you know, people to speak out if they'd like to. Your thoughts, Steve. What'd you think when you saw the video? What emotions does that evoke from you?
Well, I mean, it couldn't be more disgusting. It's frankly Eric Garner with handcuffs,
mm-hmm.
which makes it even worse. I mean, you don't want to rank him, but my goodness, this man was handcuffed and was still speaking. And the look on that police officer's face with his hands in his pockets and
his pockets.
Neck, just so bizarre. You got to wonder what this guy was thinking. But, you know, it's a national disgrace. I will say this about looting, though. And look, you said it. You understand you're not black. I'm not black. You're not a minority. I'm not a minority. But you understand the rage. The problem today, it seems to me, and I don't have statistics on this, but, you know, when all this happened in the 60s, most of those businesses were white-owned. And in 2020, a lot of those businesses in the areas where these guys were looting are really black-owned businesses.
Yeah, I saw a lot of
I don't know if that makes a difference to the looters, But there was some kind of, I don't even want to call it justice because I don't condone looting. You know, what your man Mike was saying before was great. They should put that on a tape somewhere and just keep playing it because it hasn't really led to much good. And it often leads, frankly, to a lot of killing eventually. But I think there's a difference in those neighborhoods now in terms of ownership, and that should mean something. And now a lot of people are saying up in Minnesota, you know, these weren't people from Minnesota. I have no idea if that's true or not. But it's always seemed weird to me that you're going to set fire to your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Or neighborhood stores or loot neighborhood stores, but even more so today than way back when. And again, I don't have stats for that, but I know certain areas where I hung out or lived or grew up, you know, that a lot of those areas now have black-owned or Hispanic-owned businesses. And so what's the point? You know, someone will call and say, well, they got the police precinct. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's great. That's really going to help things get better. But look, an absolute disgrace, a national disgrace, an international disgrace. You know, you leave America, you know, there are people, I think it was James Baldwin moved to Paris. A lot of famous African-Americans, jazz guys, et cetera, moved to Europe. And because they didn't have to feel racism over there. It was really incredible if you look at some of those guys who moved over there. So it's a national disgrace. You can say anything you want, but it's kind of hard to get to the basic core of changing how people think. The other thing I'll say, Joe, to you, is I think it's great, and even the Carson Wentz thing, which I assume we'll talk about, it's great when the white guys speak up. I understand what Marcus Hayes said and wrote, and he wasn't around, you know, he didn't say anything when Chris Long was putting his arm around Malcolm Jenkins, mm-hmm. and he correctly said, you know, guys grow differently. This guy's from North Dakota.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not knocking North Dakota, but you know
what
I'm saying.
No, I know what you mean, sure.
He's not from Chicago.
Right.
Or Philly.
Right.
New York. But I think it's necessary and good when you can have white guys like yourself, you know, Carson Wentz on a bigger stage, saying these things, because another problem, I think, is if you only have minorities writing about minorities and all the stuff they have to go through, just like if you only have women writing about women, it falls on deaf ears for a lot of people. And I just think there are some people, not a lot, but there are some people, if you have, frankly, white guys writing about women's rights, minorities' rights, homosexual rights, whatever you want to fill in, you know, written by straight people, not by white guys.
Right.
But I think it's always good to have the other group, I don't want to say helping you, but pointing out facts that the members of the group can point out, you know, from memory, from experience, from just living. You know, it used to be, I used to work at Garden State down in Cherry Hill, training and driving horses, late 80s, early 90s. Remember when Garden State came back and was open for a few years?
Of course I did.
I used to drive up and down the Jersey Turnpike, and every guy that got pulled over was a minority. Like 90. And the stats eventually came out that it was in the high 80s or something.
Wow.
And that's I think, where DWB, Driving While Black, came from. But now it seems like it's Living While Black or Jogging While Black or Fill in the Blank While Black. And it must be incredibly hard to have a son, you know, a young son, because you got to prepare your young son for stuff that, you know, frankly, white people can't imagine will happen to them. And I don't just mean getting pulled over by the cops, you know.
No, it goes from that to the extreme, which we saw the other night on Monday. Now, it took Carson Wentz, again, I'm not necessarily knocking him, but I know Marcus kind of played both sides, like, hey, great, Carson finally spoke out about a controversial topic. He was a little late to the party with the Malcolm Jenkins and Colin Kaepernick thing, but he finally spoke out. He did wait a few days. Maybe he was pressured, maybe because of all the rioting, whatever. For whatever reason, I still maintain it's never too late to do the right thing. What did you think about what Carson Wentz said, and how do you think that might help him in the locker room?
I thought it was great. I think it has to help him in the locker room, unless you've got some white racists in there, which I don't think you do.
Right.
I certainly hope that you don't. I think it goes correctly into the category of better late than ever, but in this case, a lot better to do it. Not just better late than ever, but a lot better that he did it.
Yeah.
And again, you know, what Marcus Hayes said is right. He's a relatively young guy who, by his own admission in the tweet, right, he said, I essentially grew up with people who looked like me. you know, I grew up on Dyckman Street in New York City, went to Powell Memorial High School, so he didn't have the experience I had growing up. And you certainly have, or anybody who went to school in Philly, or again, Chicago, Detroit, fill in the blank of all those cities. There's, you know, 50 of them. But I think we all come to things when we all come to things, and some people get there faster than others. And, you know, frankly, it's not his fault where he grew up or how he grew up. And that's the experience of millions of people that we know nothing about, Joe. You know, this whole coronavirus thing, if you live in a rural town in fill in the blank, Iowa or wherever, you have no understanding what people in New York, Philly, Detroit, Chicago, New Orleans, you have no understanding what they're going through. And so I think it's better late than never. It's really good. You know, I think sometimes there are pressures, but he was able to, whatever, get through those pressures or understand maybe he made a mistake last time. Maybe he learned something from Chris Long, who's always been, you know, right there for a long time, not just with Malcolm Jenkins. You know, he's done this stuff for a long time. Yeah. So, look, everybody deals with it the way they deal with it. It's good that a guy in his position, quarterback of an NFL team in Philadelphia, came out and said something. But I'll also say this isn't a hard one now. If you watch that video and you think there's any defense, then there's something wrong with you. So the other thing I'll say about third-degree murder, which I told you in Minnesota you can get up to 25 years in prison, the problem with 3 degrees is that the first and second degree in Minnesota, you know, you have to have some kind of intent to kill. Even the part of it that there's a part that even has, like, in second-degree murder, there is like an unintentional second-degree murder, but it can only be unintentional while committing certain felonies or certain acts in violation of an order for protection. So that's usually the woman who gets the order of protection from the ex-husband. And so, frankly, nobody will like to hear this, but legally, under those two statutes, you can't get this guy on murder one or murder two. But you can't get him on murder three. That's up to 25 years. And, you know, you got to hope the right thing happens to this guy, because all you have to do, again, you saw the photo, I hope. I don't know who put it up. I'd really like to give him or her credit. Colin Kaepernick on a knee and this cop on a knee. And, you know, compare the two knees. Mm-hmm. What are we doing here?
Right.
It's incredible. Again, I wish I could give credit where credit is due. But when you think about those two knees, I mean, again, it's not even a conversation. It's a conversation. It's not a debate. This was so far beyond the pale. It was just outrageous. And I'll say it again, an international disgrace.
Well, we're Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline. He's my podcast partner, also sports editor of WestchesterCountyPost.com. Has a website or a Facebook group page called Speaking of Sports with Steve Callis. See, let me read an excerpt from you from Roger Goodell's statement recently, and I want to get your thoughts on this, because to me it's unbelievable. This is an excerpt. This isn't the whole thing. Quote, as current events dramatically underscore, there remains much more to do as a country and as a league. These tragedies inform the NFL's commitment and our ongoing efforts. There remains an urgent need for action. We recognize the power of our platform in communities and as a part of the fabric of American society. We embrace that responsibility and are committed to continuing the important work to address these systemic issues together with our players, clubs, and partners. That was Roger Goodell, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give him a hand. Are you kidding me? And they blackballed the guy who basically said the same thing.
I was going to say, I was hoping the final paragraph was going to say, and Colin Kaepernick just signed a 3-year, $38 million deal with whomever, but I guess that's not in there. No, I mean, look, these guys are just trying to walk the middle ground. You know, there's a lot of support for police, as there should be, but not for these guys who do what, frankly, these four guys do. These other three guys will get charged, I'm pretty sure. I don't know exactly with what, but they have to be charged as well. You can't stand there. And if you saw the other video where they had, like, the behind-the-car video, two of the other guys were on him as well. I guess it was earlier. And then there was one guy who was just standing there the whole time. But, you know, I'm not defending any of it all, but there's incredible pressure. As for the NFL, we know they screw up everything. I mean, what don't they screw up? So this can't be a surprise. It sounds almost like they're trying to walk a middle ground. You can say all the stuff you just said, but what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll give some money to somebody and say, look at what we're doing. But Colin Kaepernick is the greatest example of a blackballing in modern day sports history. And you could put everything, because that's what I was thinking as you're reading it. Wow, did they sign Kaepernick? Did someone sign? and you and I went over it two or three times last year, the joke of a tryout where, you know, they did it like on a close to a Sunday where nobody could come.
Oh, yeah, remember I mean, that? And they moved the venue and right.
Please, it was just so stupid. So, you know, the NFL has a product that we all love. You know, maybe that's been hurt a little bit with CTE and a lot of kids not playing anymore. Maybe that'll go down over time. But right now, it's still, you know, it's the biggest thing there is in sports. And, you know, I'm a baseball guy, but you know the football rules no matter what you think of the other sports. And that's just the way it is. And no matter how hard they try, they can't screw it up, Joe.
Yeah, you think?
Hey, oh, my goodness.
It's unbelievable. Hey, buddy, get some sleep because I got you on tomorrow. You're on at 11:10 on this show. If you're up for it, we'll talk some more about this subject because we're going to have a different audience tomorrow and we'll have some other subjects to throw around and we'll have some fun 9 to noon tomorrow. Steve, 11:10 tomorrow, cool with you?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it as always.
You
Joe.
Too, pal. Appreciate you coming on. Have a good night, bud.
You too.
Thank you. Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline. Got to take a break. I'm Joe Stazak. I'd like to hear different perspectives on this. And folks, I'm giving you a voice tonight to voice your thoughts on the situation, maybe the emoting that you went through when you saw the incident on tape, read about it. Again, nothing makes my blood boil more than something like this. Bad cops treating black people the way they treat black people at times. Listen, there's a lot of good cops out there. This doesn't happen to everyone, but there are some bad seeds, and we see that from time to time. And Colin Kaepernick's biggest argument is he wants to see them punished. Yeah, he wants to eliminate it, but his problem is they don't get punished. And there's so many acquittals, and of course, the whole Rodney King thing. And then three black guys pull a white guy named Reginald Denny out of a truck and almost beat him to death and throw rocks at his head. And the whole thing becomes ridiculous. And I know it's frustrating. That's obviously over the line, but it happens. And I'm not sure if it was Steve or Marcus. Because I'm having a senior moment, but someone mentioned that in these communities where a lot of the riots are going on, a lot of these stores now, unlike the 60s where a lot of white people owned the small stores, the small businesses, a lot of them are owned by black owners. And I saw on TV today they were interviewing some of the owners of these stores watching. One guy said, that's my life savings right there and my dream going up. He's watching his place burn down. And he was, I can't believe he was that cool about it. He's just like, yep, there it goes. You know, so that hasn't stopped anybody from looting or wilding, as it were. So, again, the whole thing's out of hand, and it needs to be stopped. 610-632-0975. Joe Stazak. Kyle, hang in there. A couple open phone lines. I'm here till 10 o'clock tonight. Stick around.
97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. 929 here at 97.5 The Fanatic. In less than 12 hours, I'll be back on these very airwaves. I'm on 9 to 12. That's my permanent Sunday shift. And, of course, tonight is my permanent shift as well, 7 to 10. In case you haven't heard, I will be heard here on weekends. 7 to 10 on Saturday nights, 9 to noon on Sunday mornings. So I'll be right back at it tomorrow at 9 o'clock with my producer, Connor Thomas. And we'll be getting it done for you. Probably talk a little bit more about this because we have a different audience. And I want to give people their chance to voice their opinion on this whole thing with George Floyd and as relates to Carson Wentz. But before we get into that again, I want to remind folks that this weekend's programming is brought to you by BetRivers.com. Check out the all-in-one Game King video poker now at BetRivers.com. Signing up is easy and you can get started with as little as $10. Have fun and please bet within your limits. Presented by Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. Well, let's reset. We started out talking about Roy Halladay, and that's, of course, still on the table. I thought that was a very compelling piece. Yeah, I was sad. It made me sad. It made me really sad, to be honest with you. I can relate to a lot of things he's going through. A touch of depression runs in my family. I get it. I know all the meds he was on by name, plus the Adderall for his ADD. And a lot of folks post-retirement have trouble out in the real world, you know, trying to find things to do. Or, I mean, for 20 years, he's been perfecting his craft and pitching at a high level and being a celebrity and making a lot of money. And now, you know, his outlet is his therapy was flying planes. And unfortunately, apparently he was an adrenaline junkie. And we know he was an addict. He was addicted to painkillers and whatnot. Doesn't make him a bad guy. We can only speculate what happened. There are some folks that saw him crash, say that he was doing some aerial maneuvers and some tricks in the plane. Again, it's speculation. It's hearsay. I don't know what the situation was. I just know it was sad. His wife did a phenomenal job taking us through his life and whatever. His dad came on, was very composed. His sister, his son. It was really, really well done and sad. And it was eerie because they had... You know, 911 was called, and they had the sheriff's boat as it was approaching the crash in the Gulf of Mexico. And I didn't know they had video of the plane that up close and broken up into, you know, like, you know, 13 pieces. And apparently his body was there somewhere. They didn't show that, obviously, for good reason. But it was eerie because it was really quiet, too. It was in the Gulf of Mexico, and it was, you know, it's a shame. 17 minutes into that flight, and he wasn't supposed to go out that way either. He was supposed to hang a right and park the plane back at the airport and then go meet his wife for lunch or whatever he was supposed to do. And she gets a call. She gets a text from a friend saying, I hope you weren't flying today because there was a small aircraft crash in our backyard. And she freaks. She starts texting her husband. No response. Then she texts her brother and say, can you go to the house and see if the plane is in the driveway or wherever it was supposed to be? And then he said, the sheriff's here. He wants to talk to you. And that was that. So if you want to chime in on Roy Halladay, does it change your opinion of him at all because of, you know, some of the situations he was in? Doesn't change my opinion of him at all. I totally get it. I understand some of the things he was going through. I do know I have had some people, not real close to me, but I know some addicts. I know how that all works. I know how hard it is to break out of that. And I know how depression works. I know how Adderall works. So, unfortunately, and I know how painkillers work. Unfortunately, he had quite a cocktail in his system at the time. And they think he was impaired when he crashed his plane. But right now, we're talking about George Floyd and that whole situation in Minnesota. Derek Chauvin, am I saying that name right? The officer that, you know, the body language of the officer, someone mentioned it. I don't know if it was Marcus or Steve Callis. He's got his knee on George Floyd's neck. And his hands are like in his pocket. He's not like holding them down or like making sure he doesn't make any, you know, quick moves and tries to get up or whatever. His hand is just like casually, hands in his pocket, and his knee is on his neck. To keep him down, all you had to do was sit on his back. But to cut off his airwaves, and someone brought it up earlier that they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that he has, and I agree, a history of medical issues, coronary heart disease, and some other things he had going on, which probably didn't help and might have actually expedited the process in terms of George Floyd dying. But make no mistake about it, he couldn't breathe. And they still haven't come out and said that the cause of death was asphyxiation. I want to see what a coroner says and what the autopsy says. Because to me, it looked like if a guy's screaming, he can't breathe, and then he goes limp and lifeless, and you still sit on his neck for 2 minutes and 53 seconds, you're telling me he didn't asphyxiate? You know, I'd like to hear more about that. And, of course, there was a report that he was pronounced dead at 9:26 at the hospital when it was 8:30 when the whole incident happened with his neck and the fact that he couldn't breathe. But the fact there were bystanders there, you know, screaming at the cops, he can't breathe, he can't breathe. He's not resisting, and he wasn't. He wasn't doing anything. He was just laying there.
I mean, I'm not a coroner. I haven't looked at his body. But, I mean, we've seen the video. There's a video, more video after that where they pick up his body and put it on the gurney. They don't give him any medical attention, so they weren't trying to save his life. They knew he was dead right there and then. So I don't believe that he died in the hospital.
I don't think so.
He died
either.
Right there.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I don't know about that report, but it was in, you know, I was watching a couple different reports on YouTube from, like, various media outlets. CNN had one and CBS had one, and they said there was a report that at 9:26 he was pronounced dead, and it was 8:30 when the whole incident happened in the street on the corner of 38th and Chicago in Minneapolis, which currently is burning down right now. In case you haven't heard, there is a curfew out in the Philadelphia city limits starting, well, it started about an hour ago, and it goes till 6 a.m., so get your ass home. You shouldn't be out anyway. We're supposed to be social distancing. You know, you're certainly not supposed to be rioting when you're supposed to be social distancing. So get yourself off the street. And who else was Marcus was saying someone drove 15 hours.
Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown, that's right.
Yeah, he drove down to Atlanta.
That's right. You know, they tore up the College Football Hall of Fame a little bit, busted up some windows, stole some stuff from the gift store in Atlanta. So this is going on throughout the country, and it's a shame. But that's the way it is right now. So it doesn't appear that a violent protest is going to work at all. In fact, it feeds into the self-fulfilling prophecy about why the police have such a thing with the black community. And they're going to be like, see, told you so. And it doesn't look good for the black community. Although I get the frustration and I get the rage and I totally get the anger. And God forbid these cops are acquitted. I'm going to be pissed if he gets hit with manslaughter and does 4 years and is probably out in 2.5. My head's going to explode. Third degree murder or nothing. 610-632-0975. Kyle in Old City, you're on 97.5 The Neck. What's up, Kyle?
What's going on, Joe? How are you?
How you doing, buddy?
Oh, man, yeah, it's just crazy. I grew up outside of the city in the Chester County area, and being from out there, you know, it's not, you know, as many, you know, black people that live in the area, that, you know, it could be somewhat diverse, but not like it would be downtown Philadelphia or New York or anything like
sure,
that. But
sure.
You know, my best friend actually is a black man, and we've been best friends since we're 12 years old. I'm 25 now, and me and he and I just connecting, you know, all those years, I've just from seeing it through his perspective and through his family and me being brought into his family, you know, it's a whole different mindset that they, had because of, you know, what's been going on in the world and all the history and, you know, with racism going on, I feel, and, you know, he made a good point. He said, racism hasn't changed, just it's being filmed now. And I think that really hit home for him.
Say that one more time. I couldn't hear you. Dropped out. Say that one more time.
I said racism hasn't changed. It's just now being filmed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good point. You know? Yeah, sure.
So it's just tough with what's going on. When I think about everything going on, it's just scary for the city. And like you said, if those guys get acquitted, which there's no past history to really think that they won't get acquitted or, you know, they won't get a lower sentencing or anything like that, because based on past history, these guys get off the hook pretty easily. Trayvon Martin case, that guy got off the hook, and that's a whole, you know, another case because it was in Florida. You know, it's just messed up out there with what people can get away with now. And now that with what I hope is being seen on, you know, with it being caught on video, I just hope this guy gets, what he deserves, and that's, I think, life in prison, because he had full intent on, I think, you know, causing harm to this guy.
Well, he certainly did, and I appreciate it, Kyle, and that's why he was negligent. I don't think his intent was to kill. That's why it's not first or second degree murder, but third degree murder seems to be the right charge. They threw a manslaughter in there to giving the jury, I guess, two options. Unless it's a bench trial, I doubt they would do that and just have a judge decide. So, you know, we shall see. But there's precedent to, you know, history tells us that it can happen. There's been acquittals that have caused, you know, the Rodney King situation that caused, you know, South Central L.A. to burn down, basically, and some other situations. And again, I mentioned the O.J. verdict. You know, I heard jurors, this isn't me. This isn't speculation. I heard jurors were asked the question in that O.J. five-part documentary that HBO did. Was it HBO? Said, was this payback? They didn't talk about DNA or lack thereof or planting the glove or Mark Furman using racial epithets or the glove's not fitting or the timeline. None of that. They basically said it was payback for all of the other injustices. And to be honest, if that is the case, I don't blame them. 610-632-0975. Joe Stazak here till 10 o'clock.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Fourth quarter time. Get those four fingers up. Fourth quarter belongs to us. Final segment. Winding it down here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Dylan, get those four fingers up, brother. There you go. My man. I'm back. Well, I mean, I'm back tomorrow at 9 a.m. until noon. Dylan, you're not with me tomorrow, right?
I am not in tomorrow.
You used to be like the morning guy. What happened?
Well, everything that's going on right now is throwing the schedule into flux.
Okay. All right.
We'll see how it gets back. What happens when we get back?
All right. Now,
normal.
Well, let me ask you this, because you know I always show up with a lot of notes. I have like 40 sheets of notes here. Since I'm coming back in about 12 hours, you think it's okay to leave these here?
Yeah, the first one on in the morning?
First one on.
Yeah.
No one's going to touch them?
I mean, no one.
They're very valuable. I would tell you once some guy asked me to sign my notes and give them to him.
Really?
I was the Flyers reporter and the Spectrum. It was the last event at the Spectrum ever. And I was emceeing it. And I was standing in the corridor. And I got to interview like Dave Pullen and all the old time Flyers were back. Tim Kerr, Brian Probb, Clark, Barber, Leach. It was a great day. And I was pretty much done the whole thing. I had one more hit to do. And some guy's like, yo, can I have those? I'm like, you talking to me? He's like, yeah, can I have your notes? What? You want my notes? Okay. And can you sign them? What? Who are you talking to? Okay. If you really want me to sign these you know, pieces of paper, no problem. So I gave him my notes. And that was it. That was the same day after that game was done. It was an 11 o'clock game. Went across the street and covered the Phillies winning the division in 2008. When they, why do I think it was the Nationals that they beat on the last, it wasn't the last game of the season. It was like second or third to last game of the season. So got to do a champagne celebration over there. It was a great day. It was a fun day.
I was doing a sideline reporter for Rutgers. I forget who they were playing. It was a terrible game. I want to say it was like Fresno State or something. But I was on the sideline when I'm at half. I'm walking back up. Some kids stop me and say, "Hey, are you from ESPN?" And I say, "Yeah, sure, I'm from ESPN." And they asked my autograph, so I gave them it. they're thinking they have an autograph from someone from ESPN.
That's okay.
Random person at a college radio station.
You're someone, bro. You're someone. I was. I don't know how we got on this subject, but I. Me and my buddy, Josh Kotzen, he was my producer. He's one of the funniest guys I've ever met. And I used to work all the games, the home games, when I worked for Prism and whatnot. I forget what I did. I got a black eye, okay? And I also did some reporting on game day, so I was in a suit. It was kind of towards like 4 o'clock. Games were still at the Spectrum. This wasn't the Wells Fargo Center. I go outside. I forget. Harry Bricker was a trainer here for a long time. I don't think he's a trainer here anymore, but I knew his dad. I was talking to his dad outside, just kibitzing on the stairs, you know, where Rocky was and Kate Smith. And I could see this kid goes over to my producer, Josh, who's about 10 feet away. And Josh is always busting my balls, and we're always playing jokes on each other. And I hear him go, "Yeah, that's him." So the kid comes over and goes, "Are you Mark Ricci?" First of all, that's two guys. You mean, are you asking me if I'm Mike Ricci or Mark Recchi? I didn't say that to him, but I'm like, I'm not really any, I'm like nobody. He's like, well, can you sign my jersey anyway? Okay. No problem. I don't know why I said that. I should have just said, dude. And so I start signing this jersey. As soon as I started signing this jersey, I got mobbed. People thought I was somebody. So like everyone there waiting for the players to come in mobbed me. I ended up signing autographs. No one knew who I was. They thought I was a player because I had a black eye and I had a suit on. And I'm signing jerseys. You know, I'm ruining this kid's jersey. I'm signing other jerseys. And Josh is laughing. He's about 10 feet away, like in stitches going, you gotta be kidding me. Brutal.
That's what always happens with autographs.
They waited until I signed one and all of a sudden it was a swarm. I'm like, oh my God.
And then they'll walk away and be like, oh, who was that?
Who was that again?
Yeah, they just want to get an autograph because they think, oh, it's someone important. I'll figure out who it was later.
I'm ruining it. I'm like Joe Stasek, number 14, ruining the gay kid's jersey. He got like a nice Mark Recchi jersey. All right, let's go to Scotty in Barrington. You're on 97.5 The Thunder. What's up, Scotty?
Hey, Brother Joe, what's going on,
man? How you doing, man? What's up?
Nothing much. Just got off work from the supermarket and home now and trying to listen to you, Brother Joe. We'll try and get you up out of there.
I appreciate it, brother.
A couple quick things, Brother Joe. I want to ask you, it sounds like basketball, in your eyes, what do you think would be back first, hockey or basketball? Because they both seem like they have a plan, unlike baseball.
I'm going to go with hockey. I think they have their act together more than the other two leagues. Believe it or not, I know they always get criticized. They always get killed. They're the redheaded stepchild. They're the doormat. They're a garage league. You know, whoever called them a garage league, Mickey Mouse league that Gretzky called them once. they are ahead of everybody. They have a plan in place and they are ready to go. And I would not be shocked. It's going to be close. It's going to be NBA or NHL. I think NHL hits the ice first.
Okay. Hey, guys, but John, I've said it before in the airway. I'll say it again. I'll ask you again. We know WWE, of course, is fake, but that's a contact sport, and they've been doing it.
Due to ongoing demonstration activity in Center City, Philadelphia, the mayor has ordered a mandatory citywide curfew effective tonight at 8 p.m. through tomorrow at 6 a.m. Only persons with essential duties will be permitted outdoors. Please return home immediately. Call 911 if you see any suspicious activity. Follow local media for updates.
Fest. I have no idea. I still get calls on that and texts and tweets. Are we having Fantasy Fest? By now, we have usually started promoting it about 2 months ago. We would have started. So, you know what? I guess I should just ask Coach what we're doing. I guess at this point, we're in flux. It's hard to prepare for such a big event because it takes so long to prepare for and to get all our advertising people in and the logistics and whatnot and set the right date and do all the tickets and all the giveaways. And with the unknown, with this whole pandemic, I could see it going away, at least for this year, which is unfortunate because it's one of my favorite days of the year, the Fantasy Fest, whatever it's called, Fantasy Fest. Fanatic Fan Fest. What's it called, Dylan?
It is Fan Fest.
Because they changed the name. It used to be Fantasy Fest, right? Now it's Fan Fest.
It started out as Fantasy Fest. Now it's Fan Fest.
Fan Fest. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Good. So we got that down. I usually see Scotty there. I like seeing Charles from the Northeast. I see once in a while there. I usually ask the broadcast down there because I like people coming up and saying hello, and I get to put faces with names. And then usually we rotate other hosts in, so I get to work with a lot of people I don't usually get to work with. I was supposed to work with Rob Motti tonight, actually. He's still in Florida. Again, this is my shift, but sometimes I'll be with a partner. And, of course, I'm back tomorrow at 9 o'clock sharp till noon. We have Les Bowen. He's going to come on, talk about his article relating to George Floyd. Steve Callis will be on again, and we'll have a good old time tomorrow morning. Want to thank Marcus Hayes of the Philadelphia Inquirer, Steve Callis of Callis Remarks, and, of course, speaking of sports with Steve Callis, his Facebook group page. And everyone who listened tonight and voiced their opinion. And of course, Dylan, appreciate it, man. Great job as usual. Enjoy your day tomorrow. And I will catch you folks tomorrow at 9 a.m. sharp. Have a great night, everybody. God bless. Be safe. I'm out. Late.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.